You have to work long, hard, and smart, and you've got to do all three. Two isn't good enough.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 44 of Real Estate Pros, the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate professionals and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. I'm excited about this week's show. I'm joined by someone considered one of the leading minds in real estate and the principal of First National Byron Bay. I'm speaking, of course, about none other than Chris Hanley. Chris shares with us his background in real estate. We discuss actionable strategies for improving your database management and how you can tell if your business has a culture problem. But before we catch up with Chris, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Beepo, helping businesses save money and be more efficient with specialised outsourcing solutions. Visit beepo.com.au and find out just how easy it is to set up your own trusted outsourcing team that helps take your business to the next level.
So this week I wanted to share a tip with any of you who would consider yourself as either intermediate or advanced when it comes to Facebook ads. So if you're using Facebook to promote your business using the Power Editor or the Ads Manager inside Facebook, you now have the ability to post your ads to Instagram. So some of you may not know that Facebook bought Instagram around 2 years ago for about $1 billion. So they've now just opened up the platform to small business to use it as to advertise their business using the same targeting and the same tools as you use for your Facebook ads. So if you don't know what I'm talking about when I say Ads Manager or Power Editor, you might like to do a little bit more research before you jump into doing this. If all you're doing is boosting posts on your Facebook page, then you'll need a little bit more information about Ads Manager and Power Editor before you start posting ads to Instagram. But from the testing that we've been doing over the last few weeks, we're finding a huge increase in engagement and a decrease in marketing spend when it comes to social media advertising using the Instagram platform. So it's certainly something that you might like to explore if your community, if your audience is actually using Instagram. If your community is not active on Instagram, it may not be something you would explore. But certainly if you're in a suburb or an area that is active on Instagram, it's certainly something to check out. So go and jump onto your Ads Manager or Power Editor platform and have a look at this. And if you'd like any help, be sure to send us an email here and we'd be delighted to have a chat to you about some of the results that we're seeing. And we can help you set that up as well if it's something you might need a little bit of help with. But with that, let's transition over to this week's interview with Chris Hanley. Well, it's an honour to introduce our guest today, Chris Hanley, the principal of First National Byron Bay. Having dominated the lucrative real estate market in Byron Bay for well over a decade, Chris has established himself as one of the industry's all-time greatest leaders and has built an amazing team of people that consistently achieve results of the highest caliber. Chris, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to join us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I've given our listeners just a little overview, Chris, but for those who don't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit more about you personally and give us an overview of your business?
I've been in the industry for more than 35 years. I'm originally from Sydney. I moved here a long time ago, about 30 years ago, to Byron Bay. And about 20 years ago, I bought a share in the business I'm in now, and I've been effectively the principal of that business now for the last 2 decades. During those 2 decades, the team here have managed to continue to hold a market share between 30 and 40%. Of all the sales, and we've done that over nearly a 20-year period now. There's 20-something staff here. They're a fabulous team. I'm very lucky to work with all of them, and I still love coming to work.
Well, for those of us who can only dream of living in Byron Bay, Chris, I'm curious to know what it's like to actually run a real estate business in a popular holiday destination and what kind of unique challenges that might bring as well.
That's a good question. I don't know that running a business here in a beautiful place is any more or less challenging, Josh. I think it's, you know, you don't get any sympathy here, for example, if the market's tough, because people look at you like you're a Wally, because, you know, at least if you're not selling any houses, you can go and swim in the ocean. So, you know, but you, by way of introduction, mentioned lucrative, and the marketplace here, like all the coastal markets, has expensive property, but it's not always lucrative in the sense that since the GFC in 2008, for example, most of the last 8 years, 7.5 years since the GFC here, have been very, very challenging here because the market adjusted, and it's still not recovered in spite of what you read in the newspapers. And the best number I can give you, Josh, is that in 2007, there was 472 settled sales in the Byron Bay postcode. And the next year there was 225. So we've never gone back to those days of 2005 and 6 and 7. The market's certainly better now. But in terms of volume of numbers, for example, we're still probably 25% by virtue of volume less than we were back in those years. So the challenges running a business in a beautiful holiday place, you know, are very similar, I'm sure, to the same challenges everybody has in their businesses all over Australia.
I understand you have quite a large market share there in Byron Bay, Chris, and I'm curious to know what type of property or price range that you would typically represent. And you've already alluded to what the market has been like in recent years, but tell me a little bit about the type of property or price range that you deal with.
Our average price, the last 100 deals we would have done here, Josh, is $920,000, $930,000. So it's expensive in that sense. We sell about 40% of the property. Our market share will be each year is somewhere between 35 and 40%, which in effect means that we sell basically 4 out of 10 properties. Some quarters or some seasons in the market, we'd sell more than that. We not only dominate the sales side of the equation, one of the great attributes of our business is our ability to list, our focus on prospecting and databasing and so on. So, you know, last month, we've just had our best month. This month just gone in August. Our best month in probably 8 years in our business. And that is very unusual in this part of the world because there's no stock. And the reason we had such a great August is we had such a wonderful July listing property. We listed as many properties in July, I suspect, as most of our opposition did in the same month.
Well, Chris, while I was researching for this interview, I kept coming across this common thread in the way that you talk about real estate. Whether that's been in an article that you've written or an interview that you've given in the past, you seem to almost always come back to the topic of community and database management. And whether that's building a community, nurturing a community, and serving the community, it's obviously a mindset that has served you well considering the success of your business and the fact that you've been in the industry for over 30 years. But tell me about the mistakes that you believe real estate professionals make when it comes to database management and community building.
I think, Josh, this is another good question. I think we should all replace the word database with community. The problem for a lot of people in our industry is they don't get it. They just, you know, they don't understand that your database is in essence your community. All business leaders and great salespeople understand the following simple truth. That if you sit on the edge of your community, whether you're a salesperson or a leader, then your business will only ever have what I call tentative or piecemeal involvement. Mm. If, on the other hand, you as a salesman and your business plant yourself firmly in the middle of your community, do a lot of community work, collect a lot of names and information from people in your community, send them information that makes them smarter rather than ego or hero information. Talk to them a lot the old way, face to face, or as many times as you can. Then you will build up trust within your community, and that trust translates to listings, to being able to truthfully educate and persuade someone once a property is listed so that they trust you, so you can guide them through the selling process so they can move. This, what most agents do is they don't get that bit.
Do you think that some leaders let their team and themselves down, Chris, by not leading by example? It's a culture that really needs to be deeply ingrained from the top down. Would you agree?
Yeah, it does. I don't often talk about this topic anymore, Josh, if you want to know, because I'm bored talking about it. I'll talk, and I don't mean that I won't speak about it. It's what I don't get is that leaders and salespeople don't get this. You know, we've used our business as a laboratory for a decade. Every good business in the country I've been to, and I've been to nearly all of them, has a great database. It's clean, and they talk to people a lot and build trust, and it translates to more business. You know, the reason people don't do this is the following. The main reason that people don't build database communities is it takes time, they're too lazy, but most importantly, they think it's beneath them. The reason people don't prospect is they think it is beneath them. Jesus prospected, right? Everybody good in the entire world, opera, politicians, everybody who needs their message to get out there, he needs to be proactive. In our industry, we unfortunately attract people who don't want to do that. And number two, the principals or the leaders of those businesses don't hold their staff accountable, and they don't do what we do. And what we do here is, after we've employed someone, they don't get to deal with buyers or sellers. They don't do any of that until they learn to prospect from the first day they're here, and that's what they do, and they stay doing that until it becomes like breathing, right? Until it becomes a natural thing that they do. Prospecting is free money, right? No one in your market's doing it because it's not glamorous, it's not sexy, and it takes some time. It's one of those things that you need to build on. But there's some of the reasons people don't do it.
Something else I noticed you've spoken a lot about in the past, Chris, is the importance of getting the culture right in an office and putting it on autopilot, as you've called it. Now, culture is a term that gets a lot of lip service in real estate, and a lot of business owners, they know they need to do something about culture, but some of them never actually do anything about it. They might stick a few core values on the wall and think they're doing the right thing by their team and doing something about the culture. But in your opinion, what's a sure sign that the culture in an office isn't as good as the business owner thinks it is?
Well, there's a number of ways to check this out or to work this out. I can do it in 60 seconds. If I walk into an office and nobody even needs to speak, I'll tell you in 60 seconds. Culture is, from the outside, it's whether people smile, it's how they dress, it's the spring in their step, it's the atmosphere that you can feel in the place. Yeah. And again, if you showed me an office, a video of an office without any sound, just let me watch it for 5 minutes, I can tell you. And the public are the same.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in our industry, people don't understand it's the power of culture. They don't understand that culture is the only thing, Josh, that people can't copy. Mm. You see, your competitors can copy everything, your floor plans, your signs, your branding, your ads in the newspaper. None of that's unique. The only thing they can't copy, the only thing, is culture. And you can also work out the culture in an organisation by doing surveys. You can do them anonymously. We've just done a survey here of the staff as we speak to see what the staff feel about certain issues. But there's a number of different ways to test a business to see what its culture is. But going back to your question about autopilot, the leader of any business, not just real estate, is the architect and the maintenance man of the company culture, meaning that the boss needs to not only be there to drive it and help sort it out, he or she needs to go sometimes and fix it up or clean it up. And you can only put it on autopilot in the sense that when you're not there, you can only have an autopilot for your culture if you do one incredibly important thing, and that is employ good people. You know, if you've got a culture that where only some of the people are good, for example, or whether there's a real difference between the business and there's different cultures, it doesn't work. So the only way, it's like Virgin or all the great organisations, sports teams, they'll all tell you it is about the culture. And the culture, Josh, is a multiplier. It is one of the only things in real estate that allows sometimes small groups of salespeople to dominate a marketplace, because they're all strong and powerful because they've got this straight, this really strong culture.
Yeah, well, something interesting that Jacob Aldridge said on the podcast a few episodes ago, Chris, we had Jacob from Sherlaw's Business Coaching on the show a little while ago, and he said something really interesting. It takes 6 minutes to copy IT. It takes 6 months to copy IP, but it takes 6 years to copy a culture. And just to your point before, culture is really one of the only unique points of difference we have left in business today. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I've been to Sherlaw's and they're an innovative and really interesting group. And I've done their management conference and I've heard that IT, IP culture thing. I'd even go further. I don't think you can copy it. I'm just being kind by saying, you know, I don't think you can. You know, it's culture's about alchemy, and alchemy is the essence of building great organisations. And alchemy is, you know, getting a whole bunch of people together with different personalities and combining all their positives and energy and somehow connecting all that up and moving your organisation forward. And you know, I've tried to teach culture to people. They've been to me. And you know what happens? Nearly all of them walk away from it because it's too hard. I think it was Jim Collins said, the soft stuff is the hard stuff. And I think in real estate, people are, instead of being focused on building great culture, they're just focused on a listing, which is short term. Bottom line with culture is it takes time. You know, it takes a while to build it and it's never finished, right? It's always a work in progress. And it needs attention and it needs a leadership group plus all the staff to join up to it. And most importantly, the staff have to be listened to regularly, because sometimes culture goes down a side street or, you know, becomes a little, let's call it, less vibrant or less positive than it should, and you've got to fix it.
No doubt. Well, Chris, I want to turn the spotlight onto moments of your career that have made you who you are today. We often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate up on a conference stage or a seminar somewhere. But here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded. So can you tell us a story? Take us there with you of a moment in your journey in real estate of where you felt like you'd failed. Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Josh, you fail every day. How long have you got for this bit? You fail every day. Leadership's about failing. You know, being a boss is about screwing up. Being a boss is about making mistakes. I think what happens to a lot of people when they get a business card that says principal or leader or whatever's written on their cards, I think there's some notion in their head then that it's all okay there. You know, I make mistakes every day, every single day. I can't. You know, there's not one mistake I haven't made, and some I've made a couple of times over. I think we all do. So, you know, rather than talk about specific things, I'll just say to anyone who is out there as a salesperson or as a leader that you need to think about your mindset. And there's a wonderful book written by a woman called Carol Zweck, Z-W-E-C-K. In essence, what she says, which is my belief or my understanding of how success comes about, is that if you've got a fixed mindset, whether you're a salesman or a boss, what that means is that you're afraid of mistakes. You're afraid of falling over. You're afraid of, you know, challenges. So you just go along in life doing the same, because it's easy and you avoid conflict or challenges. Then there's a growth mindset. And in essence, I guess I'm saying to you and anybody listening, in order to be successful as a salesperson or a boss, you've got to be focused on having a growth mindset so that mistakes, boo-boos, you know, speed bumps, turbulence, become normal. You're used to them and you're not scared by them. So that would be my advice.
Chris, was there a moment early on in your career, whether it was a client you were working with or a staff member or something like that, that situation wasn't quite going to plan? Did you ever think real estate, hey, it may not be for me?
Regularly. You know, I started very young. So, you know, when I was in my 20s being a real estate salesman, I wasn't very good. And then I was a very young boss and I was really bad then too. So, you know, was there a moment? Yeah, plenty of them in my 20s and in my 30s. Once you become a boss though, and I've been a boss of this business for two decades, I think you know pretty soon after you start whether it's for you or not. And that doesn't mean that you can't get better at it, but, you know, some people shouldn't be bosses, you know, in the sense that they're not made out for it. It's not their thing, but they hang in there, I guess, maybe because they don't know what else to do, you know. So I always liked it once I became a boss here, and I run another organisation as well. I doubt whether I'd be very good at being anything other than the boss, but I still like, you know, the whole idea of leading, and I like the whole idea of improvement. They seem to go together for me.
Chris, there's a lot of salespeople that go out on their own, whether it's on their own or with a team, start their own business thinking, look, I really want to be a business owner, not just a salesperson anymore, and it doesn't end up working out for everyone. Unfortunately, it's not a transition that everyone makes successfully from salesperson to business owner. But in your opinion, what's the first question? What's the most important question a salesperson should ask themselves before going out on their own and thinking, I want to be a business owner?
Yeah, the first question, Josh, is why?
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of them don't. A lot of salesmen leave their business because they're angry at their boss or the company or the brand, which is the absolute wrong reason to go in business. They've got to ask themselves why. You know, why am I doing this? Why do I want to do this? You can't, when you're a salesman, it's a pretty good life because you can pack up and leave the company in 5 minutes' notice if you want. Once you've got your name on leases, or once you're employing a lot of people and their lives are connected to yours very strongly, you can't do that. I think also between you and I, a lot of young salespeople get seduced by the franchises who are very good nowadays at picking out salespeople and talking with them over a period of time and convincing them that they're suited to being business owners. My view is some of them aren't. And franchising is different to real estate. They're different businesses. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not to say that I don't admire young people who go out into business for themselves. I know most of the good young principals in the country, Phil Harris, Toby Parker, guys like that, Dallas Taylor from Jealous Craig. I know all these guys, Mark Earle from Buxton in Victoria. These are fantastic bosses who've gone and started their businesses and they're doing a great job. But why is the question they've got to ask. Why do I want to do it? And they've got to be really honest about the answers before they leave somewhere and set up your own business.
Chris, take us to the other end of the spectrum. Is there a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment in your career where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right one to grow a real estate business? And again, take us there with you to a moment that stands out in your career. What happened at the time? What was going through your mind and how did it make you feel?
Yeah, that was a good question. You sent me that question. Formula is an interesting word too, which brings me back to the metaphor of alchemy. The formula for running a successful business changes all the time. And it depends on the market, depends on the staff you have. You know, some businesses are predominantly male, other businesses are female. Our businesses are very female focused business right now. The overall majority of staff here are female. So the formula is a little different now to what it might have been, say, 4 or 5 years ago. But it isn't so much a single thing as a series of things. And I think the question you've asked, if I was to tell you the example of knowing that the formula is right, it is watching people come to work for you, and in our business often as trainees or as young people, and then watching them grow and glow over time as they get really better at whatever part of the business they're working in. Often they'll go and buy their first property, sometimes their second property, or they'll go on overseas trips, or their clothing will improve, if you know what I mean, as they make more dough, you know, and you see, so for me, the part I like most and have never, you know, it's never diminished for me is the I'm proud of people. I love seeing people who've not maybe even sometimes had a good job. They come to us and they're really good workers, they're good people, and we teach them to do things. My view on recruitment is very simple, that you just find good people and then you teach them to do different jobs, whether it's to list or sell or prospect or lease property or work in marketing. You know, it's much easier to find a good person than teach them to do something than it is to find someone from that profession and then teach them to be a good person. It doesn't work. So for us here, I think the thing we all enjoy, myself and my partners and the staff, we love seeing people grow and then be proud of working here. We like that. That's a great thing.
Well, take us to today, Chris. What are you working on there at First National Byron Bay that's getting yourself and the rest of the team excited?
I think they're just working on having a breather because we've just had our best month here in about 10 years. We've just had a very, very, very big month. It's interesting that you're interviewing me today. But we're working on a number of, we've got lots and lots of projects here. We've just done a survey, like a culture survey of the business. We're working on making, you know, changes to some of our marketing programs. We use webbooks and so on here. We're developing some products within our webbooks. We're always being innovative. We're looking at new videos. If you go to our website, we're big believers, our own First National website, we're very big believers in video. We're about to be involved in TV, to do some TV and brand marketing in our part of the world. But ostensibly what we do here and focus on every day and every week and every month is listing. That's the single focus. So we market our company we have a budget here for marketing, and we are always supporting community organisations, community events, and through that marketing, we hope to attract people to our business who can connect with us, and from there, we hope to be able to help them with their listing or the renting of their property.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you 5 quick questions and get you to come back with 5 quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from our real estate industry social media report for 2015. We interviewed real estate professionals from all around Australia about how they're using social media to market themselves or their agency. One of the stats that surprised us most was that only 30% of agents are using video in their social media marketing. According to Cisco, video will account for 69% of all consumer internet traffic by 2017. That is a huge number. So this week I'd like to give you a tip for those of you who have no idea where to start when it comes to video. Go to your email inbox and look for every question that you've been asked by a prospect or a client in the past 12 months. Put those questions into a folder and one by one, film yourself answering those questions as if you were talking directly to that person. Questions like, what happens in a multiple offer situation? Or what happens on auction day? Or when can I collect the keys after settlement? All of those are questions that I'm sure you've been asked at some stage in your career. Host those videos on a frequently asked questions page on your website, and in no time at all, You will have a library on your website of videos that not only your clients will love, but it's something your competitors are almost certainly not doing. If you're using video in your business right now, I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Chris, we've reached one of my favorite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
All good.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
A friend of mine who lives in a wheelchair has been an inspiration to me. The most determined, focused man I've ever met. He has been in that chair for more than 40 years. He's had two amazing careers. And I'd have to say he has been, because whenever I looked around at some of my own circumstances, which like all of everyone's go up and down, I just remember what he does each day, and he has.
Chris, what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Get in a sea kayak and jump in the ocean. If there's an onshore wind blowing, then I'll read a book.
Well, perfect segue into my next question, Chris. What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Anything written by Malcolm Gladwell, The Outliers, any of those books, magnificent. Also like Adam Grant, who wrote a great book called Givers and Takers, and Christensen, the Harvard professor, who wrote a wonderful book last year about what's your life worth. Mm. But there's a lot of really good business books around the last couple of years, and just most of them aren't just about business, which is probably why I like them. One quick aside on many purely business books, they're usually a couple of good paragraphs filled up with a lot in the middle for what it's worth. So you can often get the good gist of a business book from the first paragraph and the summary at the end.
No, I'm a big fan of Malcolm Gladwell. I've just started reading his book, The Tipping Point, which is another fantastic read. Big fan. Definitely vouch for Malcolm Gladwell's books, that's for sure. Well, Chris, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
I think the success of a business isn't those things that other people say. There's just two things that determine the success of the business. They are the profit, the net profit, so you've got to look at the P&L. And the second thing is the quality of the service that the business delivers. Mm. Now, that's what determines whether a business is any good. You could also add there the staff, you know, how happy they are to work in the business. But, you know, I've watched a lot of businesses win awards because they've made the most number of sales and listings and they don't make any money. Mm. Now, your question then to me, though, the second part of that question was,
what prevents people in real estate from achieving success and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Okay, they don't know the single most important principle of business, and this is whether you're a salesman or whether you're a boss, and that principle is simple, that you have to work long, hard and smart, and you've got to do all three. Two isn't good enough.
Yeah.
In essence, that's why people aren't successful. They don't also have grit. They're not determined. They give up too easily. And I think another thing is they don't have any processes. So they have an energy-driven business, but they don't have any processes. There's processes for everything today, absolutely everything. And there's processes for success. There's processes for making decisions in a business. There's processes for recruiting people. There's processes for building a culture. And there's most of our industry, probably 95% of the businesses and 95% of the salespeople, they don't have any processes. They do it on energy. Yeah. And energy's great for a few years and then you run out of energy and you look around and there's no processes in place. Without processes, you can't train staff. You can't hold people accountable. You can't have proper reporting. And in our industry, Josh, we've got an aversion to process because process is about systems and a lot of people in real estate don't like anything that's systemized, so they struggle.
Well, Chris, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. Do you have a favorite success quote or mantra that you live by that you think people in real estate can relate to?
Example is leadership is my favorite quote. And I've got one other. That I had, which is separate, but this next one's not mine. I saw this on a wall In Cleveland Street in Sydney a bunch of years ago. It was a faded quote from St. Vincent de Paul, and it just said, good works. Yeah. And for me, that's there's a lot of different models in real estate, just as there is at Qantas and Jetstar. Mm. And there's no one model, right? And there's no model that you can say is right, that one's wrong. But for me, in this business, my view is good works. And in our industry, if you build an organization that does good stuff, that is professional, that builds trust, that communicates clearly to people, that employs good people, it works.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Chris has kindly shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/podcasts. Well, Chris, on behalf of our listeners, I'd just like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about First National Byron Bay?
Well, I guess they can send me an email or they can send me a text message. One of the questions you didn't ask me, which I'm going to be checking out just out at the end, was about, I think, wasn't it you going to ask me a question about what's the most important digital or...
What's your favourite technology resource that you use daily to help run a better business, was the question, Chris. And we did, in fact, leave it out of the show. Thanks for picking me up on that.
And for me, it's the text message. So the best way to get in contact with me or contact with me is always to send me a text. Since text messaging came in and became common a bunch of years ago, it's allowed me to do so many more things every day with alacrity, with speed. Because 95% of people read a text message within 5 minutes, and I have no patience, Josh. So if I want to get in contact with someone, I just send them a text. So text messaging for me, and that's how someone can get in contact with me. Go on the website, get my phone number, and send me a text.
Well, Chris, for our listeners, what is your website address?
It's First National Byron Bay. They can't miss us. We're a very unusual real estate business in that we still put a lot of time and money and energy into our own website rather than just put all our listings on realestate.com and domain.com. And I've got incredibly wonderful people here who work here, including our marketing manager. And Lauren does fantastic work here. And our website is full of video and got some interesting blog posts, so they can go there and find us there.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, it's been great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy the show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.